Jacksonville, Florida. It's time for another Hour of Power with Apostle Kimberly Daniels. Get ready for a 60-minute experience that will change your life forever.
God was dealing with me. He was dealing with me about the word align, and I couldn't figure any way that I could actually tell you what I saw except to write it down. And God was really dealing with me over the past few days about lining up and about getting in place. And he was saying that, you know, there's a lot of things that has to take place in a person's life for them to be in the will of God. How many of you want to be smack dab in the middle of the will of God? Amen. Sometimes we're so used to being preached to and made to feel, you know, pumped up. And exhortation is great. Believe me, I love it. And I'm real wild like that. But sometimes you need to sit down and you need to say, God, what are you saying to us? You know. And so the Lord was showing me the word alignment. And when I looked up the word align, it means the ability to adjust. The ability to adjust according to how things are lined up. Now, the problem with God's people is that we know that God is a God of love, and we know that God is a God of provision, and we know God is all that. You know what I mean? And so when we come into God and we know the promises of God, something would trick us to make us think we can step in the things of God and everything got to line up with us. And see, these are the mindsets, and this is what we need to break, because that's why people are doing everything they can, you know, concerning the will of God manifesting in their life and getting the promises of God. And they're thinking like, if I just go do this, then everything around me is going to have to line up with me. But what the Lord wants me to share with you concerning alignment is that when we get in place, not everything don't have to get in place for us. We have to get in place for it. When it comes to the kingdom of God, everything that God has promised us and everything that you have been need of, it will be given unto you. Now, God was dealing with me with alignment, and I kept seeing this number line, and see, every little space or every little count is called a coordinate. Okay, that's what it's called, a coordinate. And it either goes up vertically or it goes across horizontally. So now notice on this number line. Now, one thing you got to know about a number line is number lines are infinite. You know, no matter which way things are going, and I don't want you to just look at this like this is some kind of math class in school, but I'm telling you that the Lord showed me this is just how things are set up in the spirit. Can you see that? Now notice that when you go forward on the number line, you know, it you come out with a positive number. But when you go any way opposite up or forward, you come up with a negative number. And the reason why people come up with negative, because they may be going down instead of going up. Come on, somebody. Or they may be going backwards instead of going forward. And so I want to talk about alignment. I want to talk about spiritually being aligned, a spiritual alignment. And if you could see this, in your head, you will understand that everything God has for us, it has already been set in place. It has been predestined and foreordained, and everything that God has said and all those prophecies. How many of you know a lot of prophecies have not come to pass for people because the people have not got in place to receive them? Now, the prophecy ain't where you are. You understand what I'm saying? The prophecy is where God is. And that's why we have to get in place with God and get his plan. And I want to talk about that place called there. See, I know that I'm an athlete. And I understand, God knows I understand the term champion. You know, because, you know, I told you, like, You know, a champion, you cannot be a champion with a failure attitude. You can't win with a losing attitude. The main thing about a champion, and any champion that you really know for real, any athlete, they ain't partying before the race. They ain't hanging out. They're off to themselves doing what? Meditating. You know why? Because they have to run that race in their head 100 times before they get there. You know, I get out the blocks. When that gun shot, I'm only doing for real what I've already done. I've already seen myself at the finish line. I've already been able to visualize. In other words, if you can't see it, you can't have it. And so if you're walking around with the attitude of negativity, how many of you know a negative attitude can never take you forward? Or a negative attitude will always keep you down. You can never rise above circumstances and situations with negativity ruling over your head. So you got to be positive. Look at this number line. You got to be positive to rise to the occasion. You got to be positive to go forward. And it all has to do with spiritual alignment, okay? That's the ability to adjust. Because God is coordinating stuff. You understand? Because it's not just about you. And it's not just about me. Come on, somebody. When he's coordinating, fitly joined together, whoever God's put in your life, or whatever the call of life is on you, it has to do with the people around you. If you can't deal with the ones that God has put you around, you will never fulfill the vision of God on your life, because God is coordinating things. He's coordinating your marriage. You're supposed to be married to the one you're supposed to be. He's coordinating your relationship. Don't come out from amongst them. Don't be hanging around everybody. You know, when you look at your life in the spirit, it looks like a dot matrix. It's like a matrix. And when this hooks up with that, that hooks up with that. And people really don't understand that it's more than just about you. You are a part of a bigger picture. And you got to understand lining up. You know, the word of God is aligned with the will of God. That's why it says line upon line, precept upon precept. The word of God does not contradict itself anywhere. Amen? Guess what? When stuff don't agree, that's because we ain't lined up with the word. It has nothing to do with the word of God don't have to line up with your circumstances and situation. You never can go say, but God, you say, you know, but why this ain't happening? Let me tell you something. The word don't have to line up with you. You got to line up with the word. But you got to have a winning attitude. You got to be a winner. How can I be a winner? I'm losing. As a man thinketh, so is he. If you think you've lost before you started. You know, many people, you know, they confess things. And I'm going to go through some things. I'm telling you that where we're getting ready to go in God, this is going to set some folk free up in here today. Because I tried to get away from this. I'm like, God, I can't go there and teach on no number line. You know what I'm saying? I don't feel it. But how many of you know I got to line up? You know, when I just say, okay, I got to call people 5 minutes before church and tell them to go find stuff, God. That's why you got to be ever ready. You understand what I'm saying? You can't, but we ain't knowing time though. When God say, go get it now, that's what you do. You got to be ready to move. That's why I'm thanking God that I got people around me that can move at the last minute. You know, people that, you know, you ain't got to try to figure it all out. Let's just do it. How many of you know that Nike has not coined the phrase, just do it? That's why, you know, did you notice that Nike do not represent any folk that ain't champions? See, for you to wear Nike, you got to be a champion. You know, you ain't going to be getting fourth and fifth and sixth place and getting no free Nike shoes and no checks from Nike. When they say just do it, they only let people wear that. Come on, some Nikhil, you know that it says that it talks about victory in the Bible, and that the word victory is Nikhil. It's Nike is a Greek word. I mean, it comes out of one, and it relates to the word Nikhil, which means victory. They ain't got nobody wearing their stuff. that ain't operating in victory. If you ain't a champion, you can't wear the swoosh. You perpetrating. Come on, somebody. You know, some folk can walk around and put on all equipment, but you can look at them and tell they ain't in shape. You flogging. You know, you can put on a track uniform, baby, but that don't make you in shape. You understand what I'm saying? You can tell when a real athlete puts something on and wear it, you wear it. And let me tell you something. You can tell when those who talking about they put on the whole armor of God and they more than conquerors and they spiritually not in shape. So it's a lot of folk who walk around and name and claim and say that they are Christians, okay, but they're not in shape. Coordination literally means harmony. So listen to this, right? Say coordinates. Say coordinates. And coordination. If you ain't lined up with God, ain't nothing going to line up in your life. The simplest thing in your life can get you out of place. And I want to talk about being aligned. Okay? Now listen, God will give you the coordinates through prophecy, through word. I'm telling you, like say for instance, if they say, okay, the coordinates are 3 and 2. Okay, you know the first thing you're going to do is you're going to go over 3 and you're going to come up 2. Okay, bam, there's the spot. You went over 3, 1, 2, 3, and you went up 2. Now, let's go over, I said what, 3 and 2? I said 3 and 2, is that right? Over 3, 1, 2, 3, and up 2, 1, 2. That 2 kind of high right there, right? So what about, let's go, I did go up 2, didn't I? 1, 2, 3, 1, 2. That's your place called there. All right? That's your place called there. Now, what if you feel like you ain't got enough gas to go over 3? Or you ain't got enough money to go over 3? Or you ain't got enough people to go over 3? But I do have enough people to go over 2. At least, come on somebody, at least God, I can do something. So let's do the coordinates. Let's try to do what we can do, not what God told us to do. So we're going to go over 1, 2, and then we're going to go up 2. Listen, when it comes to that place called there, I want to let you know that there is a place in the spirit that you can literally penetrate the will of God. And when you try to do less, are you understand? Or even if you get ahead of yourself and try to do more, let's say, God, 3. You know who I am, God? I can do more than 3. Help me, somebody. Let's talk about being spiritually aligned. God, I'm a 5, God. You know what I'm saying? So, God, what about if I do 5 and 2? All right? So you're going to go 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and up 2. Now, look at where you are and look at where God is. Either you are ahead of God, come on somebody, or you're behind God. Either pros kairos, that means getting ahead of the timing of God, has gotten you, or the Bible say don't be slothful, or don't be slow, or don't be slack in the things of God. So the bottom line is, we're always trying to, y'all ready for this? We're always trying to, but the thing about it is, how many of you know, God wants us to give him what he wants. And you don't understand, when you look at this scale up here, when you give God what he wants, you are in place to get what you need. And even exceedingly and abundantly above all that, you can ask, think, or imagine. How many of you know that when you are in the will of God, let me tell you now. So now you saw the person that did the two and the two and the three and the two. Now this was the will of God right here. That's the will of God. Let me tell you, everything else outside that circle, it do not count. And you know, Christianity has put it to where you can just ask what God wants, evaluate it, and give God what you feel like. You can give God. But I'm telling you, there is a place in the spirit. Y'all better hear me up in here. And people don't understand that place.
Because it takes obedience to get in this place. It takes losing some friends to get in this place. It takes your family getting mad at you to get in, come on somebody, to get in this place. I'm telling you, to get in this place, you can't bring everybody with you. Matter of fact, you can't bring nobody with you to get in this place. Let whosoever will. This place is only big enough for you. This place ain't big enough. Come on, somebody, are you understanding me? It's not big enough for excuses. It's not big enough for lies. God don't want to hear it. And I know that God is a God of love, but we got God pegged wrong. Guess what? He's not just a God of love. He is Lord. And God knows what's better than us. What's better for us than we know ourselves. Isn't that something? There is a place called there. Let me tell you something about there. There is the opposite of here. There's a place called here and a place called there. Come on, somebody. Here is where I am right now. There is either where I came from or where I'm trying to get to. Are you understanding what I'm saying? See, here, this is where I am. Here does not dictate what God is saying he's going to do. You cannot stand here and evaluate God. You can't stand here and question God. You can't stay where you are and say God ain't did what he's supposed to do, because what you got to do is you got to get there. Now, you can't go there. I say you can't go back, because God is saying always go forward. Are you understanding? See, because when you go back, let me show you what happened to you when you go back on a number line. When you're on a number line, and let's say that you are here, all right? But your cousin them here, all right? I know the instructor would tell you just like that in college. Your cousin them, they right here. Look what you got to do to go back and get your cousin. You got to lose 1, 2, 3 places. You done lost ground. Come on, somebody. See, cousin them got to come here. Help me. Are you understanding what I'm saying? Because the place called there ain't big enough. Folk ain't going to understand you. They're going to call you crazy. The devil going to send everybody in your path. Because if you ever get in that place called there, if you ever line up, I'm telling you, all of heaven will break loose and all of hell will shut down. Because there is a place in the spirit. I wish somebody listened at the tape could see this number line, but I can't help you with this one. All right, let's talk about one more thing, okay? All right. So we talked about being vertically and horizontally lined up with the will of God, okay? Let's talk about vertical alignment, okay? All right? Because it starts up here, all right? Because this God, all right? And then the Bible tells you that you can't get to God except you come through who? All right, Jesus. Okay? Now, guess what? Now I'm finna blow somebody's mind here. You really can't have a relationship with Jesus unless you are part of the local church. All right, you can't separate, and let's make that one. Okay? Because this is his body. The local church is the body of Christ. So some folk they wanna go through God. Come on, somebody, and want Jesus, but they don't want nothing to do with the church. There is no such thing. Come on, somebody. Therefore, you ain't going to be lined up. You're going to be spiritual. Now, I'm not saying you can't take time and find a church. And I understand not running up anywhere and letting anybody lay hands on you. And don't even plant your seeds anywhere, because it's not a good thing to do that. It's not a good thing. You really got to know where you're supposed to be. Now, look, in the local church, there are many parts. How many of you know that people go to church where they want to go to church? Now, God, I like over here. But you got to say, okay, say, God, say, okay, your church coordinate, let's draw another number line. Do I need to, can I draw from this way? I can do all right like this? Okay, am I doing that right? All right. Okay. All right. One, two, three. One, two, three. Okay, God is saying, Kim, I'm calling you to go to church 1-1. All right, so that means my place called there as far as where I am. I literally believe that in the book of life, we are listed under churches. I can't prove it. That's just, and you ain't got, I'm just saying, I have a right to my opinion and how I feel. I feel that if you got preachers that's going to stand before God to answer for how they shepherded over you, I really believe that, not saying that if he go to hell, you don't know, not like that. But I'm saying I believe that when a person is not under their proper covering, that they are out of alignment. I literally believe that. Because, see, there is a, and I'm going to go up here and get my Bible, and I'm going to talk to you about the wolf spirit. But he said, Kim, your coordinate is 1 over and 1 up, right there. But God, they ain't got no good children's church. 2-2, God. 2-2. My children like 2-2. But let me go to 3-3. My husband like 3-3. 2 over and 2 up. Okay, 3 over and 3 up. Come on, somebody. Okay, and look at that. Look where the will of God is for you. This is where all the blessings are. This is where the anointings are. This is where the miracle is. And you're talking about, God, I can't feel you. Because you want to be at 2-2 and 3-3. Come on, somebody. I'm just trying to show you how God showed me. So that you will understand that being, and I'm going to give you some scriptures that's going to help you. But so we talked about the local church. And so the local body, okay, the body of Christ, all right? And let's keep going down. Okay, and then in that church, you got to have right here an overseer. That is your covering, all right? Now, under the overseer is a delegation, all right? Now listen, because everything is working on the same level. That delegation, because then we come to you. All right, that's you right there. And then under you, we have your foundation. Okay, let me explain this. Okay, when you have that overseer or that person that's over you, he has delegated authority to this person. Just like God delegated authority to Jesus. Jesus said he didn't do of his own. And come on, somebody. And you got to go through Jesus to get to God. Jesus operated in a position that was delegated by God. That's the part of God and the part of the Trinity. Come on, somebody, that we got to go through to get to God. It don't even count. That's why God set it up. Because if you pray in him in any other name other than the name of Jesus, you are out of alignment. So what if you pray in the Buddha? God over here. All right? You trying to get, here goes, this Jesus, this God, this Jesus, all right? Now, this you. You trying to get God, but you want to go around Jesus. Come on, somebody. But you want to pray to Buddha. I don't even know how to spell his name. He ain't worth it. He ain't even worth it. Anyway, I believe I do know how to spell Buddha. I'm just kidding, but I ain't got time. But anyway, soon as you, Jesus is lined up with God. Buddha over here somewhere. When you pray through Buddha, come on somebody, then you shooting up here. Your prayer's going up, but they stopping right at the second heaven. Come on, somebody. And I want to talk about the heavenlies, because I'm talking about being aligned with heaven. And so you got to understand, you just can't do what you want to do and walk in power. See, signs, wonders, and miracles been breaking out in here. And I just want to let you know that it's time for folk to line up with the will of God, because if God's going to be using anybody for miracles, how about I want him to use me? And all of those who are lined up, not just with this vision, but with the vision of God, okay? All right, so this goes all the way down to the foundation. Now listen, remember we talked about, so that's vertical alignment, okay? Let's talk about horizontal. That's the negative side, and that's the positive side. All right. Okay, so this represents relationships in life. Now, what if you lined up with God, but you get into a relationship with somebody that's operating over here? Come on, somebody. Now, not only do you have to be, it has to go right this way, but how many of you know things got to go right this way? That's why Moses always told the people, God say go forward. Ain't nothing back there before you. Lot's wife looked back. Okay, he said, when a move of God, let me tell you, Sodom and Gomorrah wasn't just judgment, it was a move of God. It was a mighty move of God because Lot was brought out of that. It was the mercy of God, it was a move of God. And when you're in the midst of a move of God, and we're in the midst of the move of God, and we've been through a lot, I'm telling you, for those who want to look back, you will not be able to go forward. To those who want to look back and remember how it used to be and the people that left the church, and you want to go back and think all those things that we thought was settled, you still stuck on them? You can't look back. Come on, somebody. When you're horizontally moving forward, or when you're horizontally in relationships, if I'm on three, I promise you, I can't be hanging out with folk on one. Help me, somebody. I got to at least be with somebody on three or above. Come on, somebody, because you know, they can catch me up the way they are. Y'all ain't hear me as long as it's lining up vertically. Are you understanding what I'm saying? But I can't let mom and them don't even pray in tongues. Mom and them really don't understand the Holy Ghost. Come on, somebody. Y'all ain't hearing what I'm saying. You can't let your children, who ain't even mature, run your life. Because guess what? When they get up and get grown, they're going to get their husbands and their wife, and you're going to be left there by yourself. So wait a minute. If you keep finding yourself, y'all better hear me up in here, in the same circumstances and going through the same thing, look around you. Because if you see the same people, the same attitude, the same circumstances, you're going to get the same fruit. And that's why people always say, how did I get here again? I saw arrows going up like that represent foundation. I saw, you know, connection like this. And then I saw it going like this too. And God was saying, when you are lined up in my place called there, that's that place called there, eyes have not seen and ears have not heard. The reason why we cannot get the best, say the best. We want the best that God has for us, is God will warn us, get this out your life. Move this person. Get that out your mind. Stop doing this, okay? Stop doing that. So as we put the top on this and put that up for me. As we get into the word of the Lord, I want to talk about spiritual balance, and let me give you some scriptures. Go to James 1:8. James 1:8, all right? Can everybody get the picture in your head what I'm really trying to say? James 1:8. All right, no, let's. Because I'm talking about, say the perfect will of God. Do you know there is a perfect will of God? I mean, Romans says, it says the good will, the acceptable will, and the perfect will of God. Romans the 12th chapter. The perfect will of God is the maturity in the things of God. You know, that's what we should be targeting. We shouldn't be targeting to barely make it or to just get whatever we can get. I'm telling you, there is a perfect will of God. And James said, now, James 1:3, let's start at 3. He said, knowing this, that the trying of your faith work patience. The Amplified Version says, be assured and understand that the trial and proving of your faith brings out endurance and steadfastness and patience. In other words, if you can get where I'm going, I want to let you know, if you believe in God for anything, your faith going to be worked. Okay, your faith going to be tried. Because you know what? The trying of your faith makes you able to stand longer the next time. People whose faith is never tried, when your faith is never tried, you don't know how to stand. That's why you got people that run Every time they get opposition, they run. This ain't God. They could be in the perfect will of God, and every time their faith is tried, they try to run. They don't want to be corrected. They don't want to deal with it. But you know why? You know why you can't take it? Because you ain't stood long enough. Because you got to stand and let your faith be tried, because when your faith is tried, it'll build endurance. It say, but let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. Let faith, it says, let patience have her perfect work. How many of you know when you perfect patience, that you will be perfected and you will become complete and you will want nothing? How many of you know waiting will cut out your wanting? I say waiting, if you wait long enough, you won't want. But if you run every time something happens, every time, and most of the time, is when you get to a certain place in the spirit, you run. You never get past that point. And then you're operating under a curse of almost, a curse of not enough, seeing it but never tasting of it. You know, seeing everybody else getting blessed, but you never getting blessed. Come on, somebody, we're going to break through and get what God has for us. Everything God is not a man that he should lie, and the prophets ain't lied. Then when you get out of place, you want to call the prophet a lie. I'm going to give you a scripture on that. And it says that, and if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that give it to all men liberally, and upbraideth not, and it shall be given to him. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. Say, nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like a wave of a sea, driven with the wind and tossed. For let not, y'all ready for this? Now, y'all done seen this so many times, but I want it to become rhema. You just been reading the logos. Let this become rhema to you. For let not that sister think, for let not that brother think, for let not that preacher, that bishop, or that apostle think, come on somebody, that he shall receive anything from the Lord, because a double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways. Okay, you see that person up there? You know what it means to be double-minded? Okay, it's literally when you pull this way and pull that way. And let me tell you what the word double-minded means. It literally means to be dubious. The Greek word is dipsukos, and it means to be two-spirited. In other words, you got two things operating on the inside of you. It means to have a breach in your spirit. It means to keep vacillating in your opinion. Easily influenced. Come on, somebody. You know, according to how things go, that's how you think. That means your atmosphere determines your thinking. Your circumstances and your situations affect your decisions. How many of you know circumstances and situations should never affect your decisions? I hope I'm preaching the devil out of somebody today. It means to have an irresolute mind, to never have a resolve, to never be able to make a godly decision, to be indecisive, to sway, to move from one side to the other side, to talk to two people about the same thing, to have different opinions and agree with both of them just to save your face. It ain't only double-minded, it's hypocritical. Come on, somebody. Can I tell you something? Jesus hated a hypocrite. A double-minded man is a hypocrite. You'll find in a double-minded spirit there's a hypocrite, because you don't even know what you want. A hypocrite is a person that's one way, one place, and another way and another. Do that make sense? Come on, somebody, because the church is the body of Christ. Even some church hoppers, they switch from one church to the other church. But in the spirit, they jumping from one church to the other, but they're not even a part of the body of Christ. Because you can be physically in a place, and you can still be walking in the spirit of Nod and living in the land of Nod and not in with God. You know what? It means to be, okay, let's go to 1 Peter 5 and 8. I talk about this scripture all the time, 1 Peter, the 5th chapter. People don't understand this scripture. You know, this scripture ought to scare folk. Okay, and guess what? Let's start. We usually just start from 8. Let's start from 6. All right? It says, And you know what? If you go all the way back to the fifth verse, it's talking about, let's start from the fifth. Let's just back it all the way up. All right? It says, likewise, ye younger, submit yourself unto the elder. Yea, all of you be subject one to another and be clothed with humility, for God resists the proud and give grace to the humble. Therefore, humble yourself, demote and lower yourself in your own estimation under the mighty hand of God, that is, that in due time he may exalt you. So remember, I was talking about that alignment with God. You can't be under God proud. Pride will take you out of alignment. It's a humble yourself under the mighty hand of God. And in due time, guess what? He'll raise you up and he'll exalt you. It says, casting the whole of your cares and all your anxieties, all your worries, all your concerns once and for all. Say once and for all. It's a sin to worry. It's a sin to carry your cares around. You just child, I'm going through. You just in sin. Come on, somebody. Depression is a manifestation of sin. The reason why you depressed is because you let that stuff come on you that God said to give to him, because you ain't strong enough to carry that. That's why you held down. Cast your cares on him once and for all, on him, for he cares for you affectionately and cares about you watchfully. Be well balanced, temperate, sober of mind, be vigilant and cautious at all times, for that enemy of yours, oh my God. See, everybody want to say, the devil don't bother me. Baby, if you got flesh, the devil is your enemy. The devil hate man. If you came out of the womb of a woman, the devil is your enemy. That enemy of yours, the devil, roams around like a roaring, like a lion roaring in fierce hunger, seeking someone to seize up and devour. Who can he seize and devour? The one that is out of place. You may feel like you got it going on, you know what I'm saying? And you can, you know, ride on up out of there and get out of Dodge, but get out of place. But get out of place. I'm telling you, pray, you ain't gonna even feel your prayers. Sleep, you'll never get that. Come on, somebody. And the blessings of God is when you're out of place and your sleep leave you. You know, it's a sad thing when you're going through hell and you can sleep good. That's reprobation. No, something ought to be wrong when you're out of the presence of God. Something ought to be wrong when you ought to be tormented. That's what Paul did to them. That's what Paul did to the ones that got out of place. You know what? He turned them over to the devil. Oh, y'all better read y'all Bible. Stop being religious. He turned them over to the torment. Pray grace and mercy. No, I pray that the devil tear them apart. You know why? He said, turn them over to the devil so that their soul. Oh, my God. You don't understand. You know, let their flesh be ripped off of their body so that their souls would not go to hell. Does that sound too hard? It may be hard, but it's apostolic. Amen. And so, walk soberly. That word napho, it means to be discreet. How many of you know that means to be to be discreet? It literally means to be able to make decisions, to not be impaired. It say don't be drunk. That word drunk, it literally means to be physically or mentally impaired. Let me add something there: to be spiritually and emotionally impaired. It means to be overcome by emotions or dominated by a stronger feeling. Unable to effectively operate because you're being tormented in your mind. And Ephesians 5 and 15, go there real quick. Ephesians 5 and 15. The King James Version says, see that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. The Amplified Version says, look carefully. Then how you walk, live purposefully, live with purpose. Don't just wake up every day like another day passing by. Have goals in your life. Look around yourself. You ain't going nowhere. Get from around them. You know, if you were there where you are 5 years ago, look, check it out. Live with purpose. Don't just be a dead man walking. You ain't got nothing prospering in your life. Check it out. Live purposefully and worthily and accurately, not as an unwise and witless. Not as the unwise and witless. Use your mind. Use your wits. But as a sensible, intelligent. Folk ought to have enough sense to know when they're not going nowhere. Now, I'm going to give you an example, and I'm not trying to talk about nobody. I love house meetings. Churches and house. That's powerful. Cell groups, that's powerful. But when you've been going to somebody's church, and they've been in their living room for 7 years, y'all ain't hearing what I'm saying to you. You can look at me funny if you want to. You better walk circumspectly and check it out. I can decree and declare to you that God will bring some kind of growth. He'll at least take you out your living room. Go get a storefront with two chairs. Get out the house. No, I'm serious. 7 years? You know, children's church is in the kitchen. This is in the bathroom, and this is in, I'm serious. But I'm just saying to you, but you got a word from the Lord. Let me say this to you. You got to look around you. Don't be offended by what I'm saying. Because you know what? God had to renew my mind. I thought just because we was there together serving God, it was all right. Come on, somebody. But I could see if you're just a group of intercessors. But when you say you a church, the Bible says he added to the church daily. And you know what? It may not be your physical building, but you got to be going somewhere adding to the kingdom. Someone, not just a sinner. Look around you. If you see people and you got to know, and then the pastor can't even pay his rent. Come on, somebody, help me up in here. You got to understand, you got to look around you. Look at the people around you. Everybody's lights getting cut off. Y'all better hear me up in here. Who going to encourage who? Who lined up? You know, everybody ain't going to be lined up. But somebody got to be lined up so that when folk fall off, they can follow somebody. But who are we going to follow? Who's lining up? Who's hearing God? Who's seeing prayers? Is anybody getting any prayers answered? Could you imagine being around folk and ain't nobody prayers being answered? That walk circumspectly means walk straight without wavering. Don't be going back and forth. Walk exact. Walk diligently. Walk perfect. How do you walk perfect? It's not how you walk, it's where you walk. Get in place. Get in place. Can I give you a biblical scripture about getting in place? Say it. Come on, put your hand on your heart. Especially for those of you who know you can feel any minute God's about to break through for you, but you've been there before and it didn't happen. Can I say that again? You can feel it. You know something's about to break forth, but you've been there before and you got right there where you could almost taste it and it didn't happen. Put your hand on your heart and say, God, there is a place called there for me in the spirit. And I will walk circumspectly, and I will live with purpose and step into my place called there. Okay, go to Second Chronicles. Go to Second Chronicles, and we'll be out, and I'm going to pray for some folk. You have to learn how to ride on the momentum of God. You have to be able to recognize when God is doing something, this ain't the time for you to be staggering. This ain't the time for you to be slow. This ain't the time for you not to be able to see it. Come on, somebody. See, and there will be some that will judge me in my here and not be able to understand that I'm about to step into my there. So you're going to judge me and deal with me by my here. And you have to be able to have enough anointing on the inside of you, just like when Mary, when Jesus' mama and John the Baptist's mama got together, the Bible said the baby leaped. Come on, somebody. When they came in contact, because she knew, John the Baptist knew that Mary was the one. So, oh, you highly blessed. Somebody else will say, child, you in adultery, you pregnant, and you ain't even, and it ain't even from your husband. You know, when she saw, you know, her spirit began to rejoice. You're getting ready to give birth to the Messiah. Come on, somebody. I see where you're going. I don't even see where you are right now. Help me, somebody. You got to be able to look at people and don't judge them by where they are. But a person don't even have to be there. But you don't get around nobody if they're doing the same thing they was doing 10 years ago. You ought to at least be able to say, I see where you're going. Come on, somebody. 2 Chronicles 20, 14 through 17. Now listen to this. Now, we're talking about a place called there. Now, notice that Jehoshaphat, I'm going to tell you a little bit about the story, was in a place called there. He was in his place called there. He wasn't trying to get there. He was already in his place called there and lost his favor. It's called disfavor. You know, I heard one prophet say this is a year of favor and disfavor for those that are in place and lined up with God. Come on, somebody. Are you hearing me? They're going to be on the road of favor. For those that ain't lined up with God, they're going to be on the road of disfavor. There are two roads in the spirit. And for those who are lined up, come on, somebody, with the will of God, the favor of God, they're going to walk on that road. For those who don't walk on it, I'm telling you, the favor you got, you're going to lose that. Jehoshaphat, check it out. Vertically lined up with God. The Bible says Jehoshaphat had so much favor on him, the enemies would not attack him. All of the different tribes and the different nations, they wouldn't even come up here. They said, that's God, boy, don't mess with him. Something happened to you. Okay? So they didn't, guess what they did? And when Jehoshaphat came through, they sent him a gift. To let him know, we're not only going to not fight you, but we're going to bless you because we know who your God is. So Jehoshaphat, in favor with God, guess what he did? Yoked up with Jezebel and them. Come on, somebody. I believe his son married Athaliah, who was Jezebel's stepdaughter or something like that. Come on, somebody. So even through marriage, and then Jehoshaphat started talking with Ahab about going into battle with him and yoking up, fighting battles. Help me, somebody. That ain't yours. You know, trying to help somebody out of something you ain't got no business in. Because they going to lose. And if you yoke up with them, you're going to lose too. So Jehoshaphat, listen to me. Jehoshaphat yoked up with Ahab, the family of Jezebel. And soon, how many of you know, as soon as you get in contact with certain people, that's when everything starts breaking loose in your life? Negativity. Because a transference of spirits is taking place. As soon as he yoked up with Jezebel, all of these armies that used to send him gifts were sending word, we coming to beat you down. How many of you know the devil can see when the covering of God has left you? The devil can see when them angels that used to stand there just walk off and say, they're yours now. Uh-huh. When that supernatural hedge of protection and you cover by the blood of Jesus and you ain't even under the blood covering no more. And the demons say, did you hear? He done came from up under the blood. You remember the hedge of fire that used to be around them? It's gone. The foundation that they used to stand on is crumbled. They don't have no covering. They don't have no foundation. Ain't got nothing around them. Attack! And every demon in hell, the same demons that heard about how bad your God was, you heard they don't go to church no more. They don't stop praying in tongues. They don't get up and pray no more. They don't pay. They're the nerd and not pay their tithe. Don't you know I'm coming up in there? And the Bible says that when Jehoshaphat got in trouble, ain't nothing wrong with missing God. But the Bible says that he fell on his face, put everybody on a fast. He feared God. See, one thing about it, when you miss God and not lined up with God, at least had to fear God. There's some folk that ain't lined up with God that don't even fear God. You done forgot about where you come from. You forgot when you was about to lose your mind. You forgot when you was locked up in jail. You forgot when you couldn't pay your bills at all. Now you want to raise your head up at God and tell me, I got it. You riding through life. Come on, somebody. Like you got it together and you out of alignment. You know what happens to the body of a person when a nerve, the simple nerve, the simplest thing get out of line, the whole body is in pain. All it takes is one little thing in your back, in your neck, in the bottom of your back to get out of line. If you ain't lined up, you're going to feel the pain. Jehoshaphat feared God. That's what he had going for him. Hezekiah feared God. David feared God. We're not perfect. But at least fear God. You know you don't go to church. You know you talking about people. You know you ain't right and you ain't even scared. You ought to be going home with your kid looking around behind your back like this. Getting up checking your windows every minute. I'm serious. You got a reason to be scared when you don't fear God. And Jehoshaphat did this thing. Y'all ready for this? He put everybody on a fast. He put the dog, he didn't feed the animals. Couldn't nobody eat. And you know what? That's where we're going right now. And while they were fasting, guess who showed up? The prophet. Okay? Go to 2 Chronicles 20 and 14. It says that on 13, it says, and all of Judah stood before the Lord with their children and their wives. Well, Mama, I don't want to go to church. As baby, we're in trouble. As for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. Everything up in here going to serve God. You're all praying to him. Move your lips. I just know the Lord prayer. Say it over and over and over. Whatever you know, baby, whatever you know to do, do it. Go to the little baby and do that. Blah, 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 blah. Let everybody, it's serious. God's favor done left me. I'm not under the covering of God. Oh, no, everybody got to pray. We ain't lined up. If we ain't lined up with God, what's coming through the funnel? Help me, somebody. And so the prophet, it says that, and all of Judah stood with the children and the wives. Then the Spirit of the Lord came upon Jehaziel, the son of Zechariah, the son of Benaiah, the son of Jael, the son of Mattaniah, a Levite of the sons of Asaph, in the midst of the assembly. He said, hearken all Judah, you inhabitants of Jerusalem, and you King Jehoshaphat. The Lord says this to you, be not afraid or dismayed at this great multitude, for the battle is not yours but God's. Tomorrow go down to them. They will come up by the ascent of Ziz, and you will find them at the end of the ravine before the wilderness of Jeruel. You shall not need to fight in this battle. Take your what? Position. Stand what? Still. And see what? The salvation of the Lord who is with you. So guess what? They didn't go out and try to fight the devil. What did they do? They lined up. Come on, somebody. They began to fast and pray. They got spiritually aligned with God. They lined up. Don't stop trying to work it out when you ain't lined up. You can do everything you want to do and try to work it out with your own hand, but you better line up. You better get back under covering, and don't get under covering like God owe you nothing. You better pray that he accept you back. You better have the fear of God. What you mean? God is a God of love. Tell Ananias and Sapphira that. They didn't get another chance. Come on, somebody. Word didn't even get to Sapphira fast enough. Come on, somebody. By the time she got word, she was being carried out the door. You know what he said to him? He said, all of these things are coming up against you. Go get in your place called there. Go stand at the ashen of Ziz. That word Ziz means place of blossom. It's the place that you will prosper in the midst of everything that's coming up against you. But do you have a prophet in your life? Come on, somebody. I'm noticing that God didn't just even come down and speak to him. A lot of times when people are in trouble, they want God to tell me. No, sometimes you done made God so mad, he'll send a prophet. God didn't tell Hezekiah that he was going to kill him. God sent a prophet. And when the prophet came in, y'all ain't hear me. He said, get your house in order. You about to die. God didn't tell David. He sent a prophet. He sent a prophet. He sent a prophetic word. If you ain't got nobody in your life that know God and that's lined up with God, I'm telling you, how can you get a word from God when you're in trouble? I ain't talking about the ones that prophesied to you in good times. I'm talking about a prophet that came to David and said, now you the one that done this, since you pointed at everybody else. I'm talking about the one that told Hezekiah, you getting ready to die. He said, you won't have to fight this battle. Y'all ready for this? And it says, and when he told him, he said, go out tomorrow. Notice that the prophet don't even the prophet never looked where you are. Remember when the people of God were eating each other? How many of you, when the people of God became cannibals in the Old Testament, that times got so hard that mothers were eating their babies, and come on somebody, children were eating each other. It talks about it in the Bible. It was a famine in the land, and it got that bad, and the prophet came in, and everything was so bad off. And the prophet stood up and prophesied, say, about this time tomorrow, it will be prosperity. And the captain said, surely God could not do this thing. Because he looked at where everybody was. He looked at their here and not their there. Don't focus on your here. Have an eye in the spirit to be able to recognize your place called there and get in it and stand and see the salvation. You won't even have to fight the battle. And the great thing is this, it says that, y'all, just please give me, let me tell you this, okay? When you follow the coordinates of the Lord, you will spearhead the will of God. You will spearhead the will of God. See, listen to this. The Bible says that Jehoshaphat, he went and stood before the people. He announced to the people. Y'all hear me say it all the time. He said, believe in the Lord and you will be established. Believe the prophet and you will prosper. That word prosper means to be pushed forward. Believe the prophet and you won't be hungry tomorrow. Believe the prophet and you won't be attacked by your enemies. Believe the prophet and where you are here, you won't be tomorrow, because you'll go from your here to there. Come on, put your hand on your belly and say, God's moving me from here to there. God's moving me from here to there. It says after he made that announcement, it says, they began to sing and praise the Lord, okay? And so as they began to sing and praise the Lord, the Bible says when they began to praise the Lord, as soon as they start praising God, it says that God sent ambushments. Okay, you know what ambushments are? It means to lie in wait. While all of the enemies of Jehoshaphat were sitting around and planning what they was going to do against Jehoshaphat, by the time they, it was something waiting for them. How many of you know God got something waiting for your enemies? All you got to do, you just can't get in place, but you got to praise him. Come on, somebody, before you see the victory. Because it says after they begin to praise God, it says they sent ambushments. And guess what happened to the enemy? They start getting suspicious of each other. and they committed self-mutilation. They began to take each other out. Can I tell you that everything God has, the devil has a counterfeit? That's why you got people in church that do the same thing. Because whenever the people of God is going somewhere and the devil don't want you to go, he'll start sending ambushments in your mind. And you start getting suspicious against people and separating yourself. Come on, somebody. Thinking ain't nobody for you. Y'all ain't hear me. Baby, you better open your eyes and see that the devil trying to stop you from getting where God wants you to go. You can tell when somebody's mind been caged. It's called a caging incantation. And can I tell you, the only way your mind, you say, how can, I love the Lord. You know, people that love God, their minds are caged all the time. Can I tell you what makes you able? Every one of us could be have our mind caged if you got a dirty heart. Dirty hearts manufacture witchcraft. You can go to church, pay your tithes, sing in the choir, but if your heart, if you unforgiving and nasty and bitter and resentful, I'm talking about nice, pretty, cute, and quiet, but nasty, bitter, and resentful and ugly, those are the ones that say, get that one. They got unforgiveness. Get that one. They complaining. Get that one. They can't get along. Get that one. They think more than they self than they ought to. Let me tell you something. Be very careful when thoughts start coming to you about people ain't said nothing to you, and the enemy will literally put a film strip in your head. Yeah. You can hear conversation. You, and then you start talking about, God showed me. I had a vision. Who sent it? The devil give dreams? Come on, somebody, and he sure will send a vision. Because if you open your dirty heart up, you'll get a vision from the devil and a word from hell. Come on, somebody. A word from hell. Because what the devil wants to do, he wants to get you out of alignment. Because if your heart ain't right, how many of you know a dirty heart can't stay up under the covering of God? It's just so wicked. Don't let the enemy isolate you. Don't let him control your climate. A climate is a prevailing attitude, a standard, a condition of a place. Don't let the devil be the one to control your climate when you up or down. We all have to work on this. From the pulpit to the back door. Don't let the devil control your spiritual climate. He said, I'm gonna cut the heat up on him now. I'm gonna make it cold now. No, you let the Holy Ghost adjust your temperature. You let the Holy Ghost keep your climate. And as he keep your climate, you'll be able to line up with the will of God. Is anybody hearing me? So your mind won't be ambushed. And let me tell you something. God wants us, and I'm going to pray a prayer now. Because God wants us to be lined up. You know, the reason why he's lining us up, we want to be lined up so we can tap into the heavenlies. Are you understanding what I'm saying? There's another level of release that you will have the authority. When you're lined up with God, you begin to walk in authority. And some folks tell me, you think you God, or you speak as God. No, but I speak for him. Come on, I'm not God, and I'm not speaking as God. Help me, somebody. But I speak for God. And it's scripturally and sound for me to speak for God. But when you lined up, you can decree and declare what he say without being a hypocrite. When you walk in authority, sometimes I think people crazy when they talk about what a woman can't do, and Deborah judge Israel. Come on, somebody, a woman can't. What do you mean she can't preach? She sat up under a tree. A woman in the Old Testament, when women were considered as property, that was another level of authority. Deborah didn't let her circumstances or her situation, not even her season or timing, come up against the call of God. She sat under the tree and judged Israel. And the Bible says when the mighty man of God went to go out to battle, he said, I'll go. Y'all ready for this? He said, I'll go on the one thing that you go with me. And Deborah said, I'll go with you. Come on, somebody. She said, but if I go with you, you ain't going to get no glory. A woman. Come on, somebody. A woman will get the credit for taking Sisera out. All right? And then, you know, after Sisera, just like Deborah, the prophet and the judge. She wasn't just a prophetess. She was a judge. in the book of Judges. When Deborah said this, how about nobody, they couldn't handle Sisera. But something happened and something shifted in the spirit. And the Bible says God sent confusion. Read your Bible. They didn't have to fight. The armies of Sisera got confused and Sisera ran. How many of you know that there's a curse that's in the Bible that God said, I have you running when nobody is there? Y'all know what I'm talking about, like crack. God said, I'll make you ghosts. You'll hear things and they won't be there. That's what happened with Sisera. God gave him a spiritual dose of crack. And he started running. He started, running. Listen to me. And Sisera was trying to get out there and ran right into the tent of Jael. And Jael put the tent peg in his head. And then when the mighty man of valor came in, she said, the man you're looking for, he right in here. All right? But check this out. After that happened, Deborah began to sing a song. It's called A Song of Deborah. And in the song, Deborah began to sing. Come on, let's look at that in the scriptures, and then I'll close out there. And this is what I want you to understand. Judges, the 5th chapter. Deborah and Barak sang the song. And Deborah began to sing the song. Listen to this. But Judges, the 5th chapter. Now, they're singing a song now. It says, the kings came and fought. Then fought the kings of Canaan in Taanach by the waters of Megiddo. And they took no gain of money. They fought from where? They fought from where? What, y'all see it in the Bible? Judges 5 and 20. They fought from where? They fought from where? They didn't fight from their horses. They fought from heaven. That's the kind of fight God want to teach you to do. Come on, somebody. That's how Jehoshaphat fought. They fought from heaven. How could you stand and see the salvation of the Lord, not fight and win a battle? Because they fought from heaven. Oh, my God. That's the kind of warfare that's going to open up stuff. What Jesus said, the greater works we'll do. That's when we'll do the greater works. When we begin to fight our battles from a different position. You got to get in your position in the spirit. We've been taking the position of walking by sight and not by faith. But when you line up with God, help me somebody, and you get in alignment with heaven, you'll fight your battle from the heavenlies. And people will say, it ain't that many of y'all. Or you ain't got enough money. Or you ain't got this. You ain't even cute. Come on, somebody. You ain't all that. Hey, but guess what? But my battle is not from here. Come on, somebody. Because up there, when you connected with heaven, that's when all that you are not in the earth realm got to line up with what you are in the heavenly realms. Therefore, you got to stop looking at people for what they have down here and what they appear to be down here. It's the authority that you have in the heavenlies that change cities. God wants to give us authority where we will fight from the heavenly realm and change the East Coast and change the West Coast, America, and all the nations of the world. Because our battles will not be from here. It'll be from there. It'll be from that place in the spirit, the same place in the spirit that Jesus was raised from the dead. That same place in the spirit that Lazarus came forth. That same place in the spirit that blind eyes open up and deaf ears open up. There is a place called there. Listen to this. It said they fall from the heavens. Check this out. The stars in their courses fought against Sisera. Is anybody getting that? It say the stars, that word stars literally mean a prince, fought against Sisera. So though Jael took Sisera out, how many of you know Sisera was taken out supernaturally? It was a supernatural intervention of God that made him fall asleep. It was a supernatural intervention of God that he would even come into that tent. See, that's why we have to fight from the heavenlies. Because when you fight from the heavenlies, everything else up in the earth realm, come on, somebody, it got to come down and line up with your victory. Come on and stand to your feet.
Thank you for tuning in to this week's show. To contact Apostle Kimberly Daniels at Spoken Word Ministries, you can call her at 904-237-9363. Services are Sundays at 12 noon or Wednesdays at 7:30 p.m. Or you can be her friend on Facebook by logging in at State Representative Kimberly Daniels. Don't forget to like and follow. And join us again next Sunday evening at 6 here on Praise 107.9.